You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 459. Today is Monday, April 16th, and Randall is joining me as well. Randall, are you ready to talk some Notre Dame football?
Yes.
And we're heading into the last week of spring practice.
I know. That's crazy.
Of course, this Saturday we'll have the Blue and Gold game. We're both planning to attend, and that'll be exciting. At least the first half is usually exciting. The second half does get kind of boring.
You're usually just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
The good news is the weather's actually supposed to be pretty nice. It's not as warm as I would like it, but it's supposed to be sunny and get up to 53 degrees by 4 p.m. So at 12, it's at 47 degrees, 0% chance of rain, and by 5 p.m., it's 53 degrees, so kind of that range.
Randall, if it rains, are you still going to go to the Blue and Gold game?
Yeah, I'll still go.
Okay. I'm not making any kind of promise because I'm not sure if I'll go if it's raining. But you'll probably guilt me.
Hang on, it's they're saying cloudy. I was looking at the wrong time there. It's supposed to be cloudy, but no rain.
You'll probably end up guilting me into going regardless.
Of course. Everybody needs to be there. We need to fill this all the seats.
I do want to hit a few points before we get into Notre Dame specifics. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other spring games. And there were a few cancellations last week. Michigan canceled theirs. I'm surprised they didn't just reschedule.
Did Ohio State have theirs? And I know they were in talks of canceling it because the weather was supposed to be bad.
I'm not sure.
I didn't even look then.
Minnesota did reschedule theirs. They are going to have their spring game, I think, on Thursday, which who cares? Anyway, what I really want to talk about was Florida State and Texas A&M. Florida State showing off a new up-tempo offense. They had 85 plays in the first half.
Wow.
So
what's defense on the field?
and just some other things of note. We think that Notre Dame is the only team that is having either a quarterback competition or maybe a lack of players at a certain position group. Well, Florida State had three healthy scholarship receivers that ended spring wow. practice. So they have a couple more guys that were injured that are going to be coming back coming this fall. And they had 60,000 fans show up.
That's what I mean.
So they had a lot of people there. Texas A&M,
which I will grant, they are in Florida. The weather is different than what it is here, but still.
But usually
you can't even get half of that.
Usually the spring game is usually one of the first really nice weekends, and it usually is just a lot of fun to get outside.
Oh yeah,
get your first sunburn of the season.
Yeah,
Texas A&M, our beloved Mike Elko, they had a record-breaking 48,000 fans in attendance. Which was up.
So they're not filling their stadium.
Up from Johnny Manziel's sophomore season, where they had, I think, around 45,000. So there's a lot of hype in College Station. And the defense racked up 7 sacks and 2 turnovers, and Jimbo Fisher did praise the defense.
That's going to be an interesting situation to watch down there in Texas.
Those were the only spring games not Notre Dame related that I wanted to discuss. Were there any other ones you wanted to talk about?
No, I wasn't really keeping track of any. I just know that some of them had been canceling or rescheduling.
All right. And then I guess let's talk about Jay Hayes. We found out where he's going. He's going to be going to Oklahoma. And I think that was the only visit he took.
Yeah, he announced that he was going out there for their spring game, and obviously that's all it took.
I'm a little skeptical. If playing time was a huge reason why he wanted to leave Notre Dame, which he was a starter here last year, but if playing time or a certain guarantee of playing time, I don't know if he's going to get that much more of a guarantee at Oklahoma. It was only a year ago. You know, that Notre Dame didn't have any defensive linemen of note besides a Jerry Tillery, maybe.
Yeah.
And now, and it's a loss. I'm disappointed to see him go because Notre Dame definitely, whether he'd be a starter or not, was going to benefit from him being on the defensive line.
Yes.
But I don't think he's going to walk into Oklahoma and play more snaps than he would have played at Notre Dame.
I agree with you.
And they did lose a starter, and I was reading a little bit. It sounds like they only have rotational players, supposedly. But again, I'm skeptical that he'll jump in there and just have a huge amount of playing time.
Which one thing that might have drawn into that was with Diaco being there.
Diaco is there, and Diaco would have recruited him.
But so yeah, he must have. I don't know all the details, but obviously it didn't take him long to make that decision.
All right, let's talk about recruiting, and then we'll talk about spring practice, because there was some big news with recruiting.
Yes, Notre Dame, well, we'll just start with news that just happened here in the last couple hours. Notre Dame got another commitment, but it's for the 2020 class. They got a commitment from Drew Pine from Connecticut, a four-star quarterback, but he's still got 2 years of high school left. And the crazy thing about him, well, right now he's 6'1", 172, and plays it in New Canaan, Connecticut. But with him, he was already getting offers from schools like Alabama before he was even in high school. So he got offers from Alabama, Florida State, Penn State, and some others as an eighth grader before he ever got to high school. So he caught everybody's attention early on, and he's visited Alabama, Florida State. So he's visited some of these schools, and then this was actually his third visit to Notre Dame. So to me, that's impressed me that he didn't just come on his first visit and was like, oh, I love this place, I'm going to commit on the visit. He visited, this was his third time. He got an offer last summer, and then he was at Notre Dame for the Temple game, I believe. And then he was there again this last week on Thursday, and he waited to announce until today. So he went home, took some time, and it wasn't like he came in and committed as soon as he got to South Bend.
Was Kevin someone that was on, or not Kevin, sorry, Drew, someone that was on your radar? Because he wasn't on my radar, but I'm not nearly as into recruiting as you are.
Well, I knew his name. They've offered him a while ago.
But this wasn't like a Phil Dracovic or a who's a quarterback that
I was watching closely and hoping he'd commit. No, not necessarily. It was 2020. I didn't pay that much attention to it. They had. Obviously, Kay McNamara was for 2019, and so it was kind of watching to see what they do with 2019. But with getting this a quality quarterback 2020, that kind of gives them some relief as far as this next year's class. And he was here as well with his cousin, Kevin Pine. And Kevin is a number 20 prospect in 2020 class, and he's an offensive lineman, and he is massive. He's an offensive tackle. He's 6'8" and a half, 275 pounds, and he's still got 2 years before he shows up to Notre Dame.
6'8". I mean, he's not committed, though.
No. But the pictures with him and Brian Kelly, it's unreal. He's a very large guy, and he's what, 16? I mean, it's...
So do you think this was Notre Dame's? I mean, they were willing to. I mean, I'm not saying that Drew isn't a good quarterback, but. I mean, obviously he's a four-star, so clearly. But do you think that
they were getting him?
They hope that they can. This will help get Kevin.
No, well, of course they want that, but I think they would do it. They would have done it anyways. I mean, they offered him a long time ago.
Okay,
and this isn't just to try it. I mean, you look at some of his numbers. As a freshman, he threw for 2,300 yards and 26 touchdowns, and had 430 yards on the ground. Then as a sophomore, he had. Just over 2,300 yards again, 25 touchdowns and 273 rushing yards. So he's put up impressive numbers in his first 2 years. He's picked up more offers from LSU, Miami, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M. I mean, he's got them all. I think he's up to 20-some offers now. But I think it's a great pickup for Notre Dame. I haven't watched any film. I need to dig in and learn a little more about him. But it's not just the guy that they're trying to add to the class just to have a quarterback in the class. Just some interesting notes. His dad is the former CEO of NASCAR. So maybe that kind of influenced Notre Dame as well. I'm sure there's plenty of money in his family circle there. So maybe they're looking at future donors as well. As if Notre Dame was worried about that. But so anyways, those are the guys.
Is there other recruiting news?
Yeah, John Olmstead visited Notre Dame. He's down to top five, and it's Notre Dame, Michigan, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ole Miss. And he's planning to announce this Friday, and this is good news. I mean, I'd say it's good news for Notre Dame because he just visited this last weekend, and so it looks good for Notre Dame. It's always good to have them committing soon after their visit. And he is an offensive tackle. And Cristobal is to Notre Dame, 100% Notre Dame right now. And that is this upcoming Friday is his announcement. And then another guy, Nana Usafo-Mensah. Sounds good right now. He visited Notre Dame. And he had announced the top two. He's down to Notre Dame in Texas. I think we might have talked about that last week, maybe. But here's a guy, Notre Dame. It seemed like Notre Dame was leading. I mean, Texas was leading since he is from there. But since his visit, a quote from him, Solana posted on the forum, as a quote from him was, honestly, I love my trip. It was honestly one of the best weekends I've ever experienced in my life, to be honest with you. Like, she's honest.
So
I got all my questions about Notre Dame answered. I had some stuff to find out about how the school operates, student life, and things like that. But I got all my questions answered, and I couldn't feel better about Notre Dame right now.
Honestly. No, I added that last, honestly.
And he is planning to announce on May 19th, but it is down to Texas and Notre Dame. May 19th, that's still a couple weeks for Texas to try to make a move as well. So, but that would be big-time pickup for Notre Dame as well. And he is an outside linebacker. Four-star, 6'4", 227 pounds. And he's also a defensive end. So
he might
probably end up
grow
as a
into
defensive end.
That rush end, maybe.
Yeah.
Very good.
But those are kind of the highlights of – there was other guys visiting stuff, but those are kind of the highlights. There's a lot of guys coming in for the spring game this next weekend, which is why fans need to be there. And so, yeah, we'll keep you updated on that.
All right. Well, let's talk about spring practice. We've got a week left to go. Reports, the media was able to cover one of the last practices last week. And let's start with the quarterback. Brandon Wimbush looked very, very impressive. But he's looked impressive in a lot of practices, at least according to the media that are able to see the practices. He's looked very impressive, you know, even last year.
Yeah.
Leading into last year. So,
well, from everything we've heard, it was one of his best practices he's ever had. The coaches were talking about it. Media guys were talking about it. So he looked very good on Saturday. And the thing is, what even confirms to me more that it's his job, especially to start the season, is that whenever the coaches and the other players are asked about Brandon Wimbush, of course, every player that's interviewed by Jack Nolan or whoever is always asked about the quarterback. And they always start with Wimbush and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, yeah, and Ian Book. And, you know,
I kind of had to throw that in.
But it's obvious. Some of the things that are mentioned about him.
It's obvious, but I still can't have confidence until I see it done.
Well, I know.
I agree with you.
You have to see everybody.
He's going to be out there.
Yeah.
To begin the year.
That's how, of course, once people see him, then everybody's going to know whether he's made it or not. So
I know, but I'm saying I still won't have confidence in him until he completes a couple games and doesn't bounce pass, passes to the flat. I mean, when he completes a consistent amount of those passes where it looks automatic instead of accidental.
Well, that's what's been said about him this last week, that he's a lot of his footwork issues have been straightened out, and he's making those passes that he hadn't been before. some of the players mentioned that he's way more confident in what he's doing, which factors into the rest of the team. The rest of the team feels more confident about themselves and everything about the team. So that's a huge thing that you keep hearing from the different players is his confidence. And then you talk to the coaches and, you know, they talk about his footwork and how he's making those passes. So you understand where his confidence is coming from.
And so. What was Brian Kelly's comment about liking to have Wimbush be more vocal? Because he said something about when Brandon Wimbush is vocal, it just helps instill confidence in the rest of the team.
Yeah. I don't think Brandon's necessarily that guy. He's not that vocal.
Naturally that.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Like last year, you know, when he's trying to figure out, when he's so focused on himself and trying to make sure he's doing the right thing, you can't be that vocal leader for the rest of the team. And you see that in all the positions, that once they are comfortable with their own play at their position, have it figured out, that's when they become more vocal and can help the rest of the team. Even here,
I think everyone Dalen I think can relate to that. Even your own job, or
yeah,
if you're at school, if you really understand a subject versus trying to grasp it and having questions.
Yeah, and what Brian Kelly said, you know, he said he's throwing the seam ball. He said that's something he didn't do last year. Just some different throws that he's making. They have not been able to get him to do that before successfully, I should say. So he keeps looking better. I wonder how much we'll actually see the quarterbacks throw.
Oh, a lot. Brian Kelly said this is what they've been working on most of spring, is the pass. Or was it Brian Kelly or was it Chip Long? I forget who it was. But the passing game is what they've been trying to work out.
Yeah, but the spring game is always different. They just don't want
to. I don't care. I'll know more about Brandon Wimbush if he passes little bubble screens and little screen passes. Game? Yeah. And if he's able to consistently complete those, then I will, bombing it 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because that's where I have most of my questions, is the easy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, totally. But like Brock Wright said, the team is rallying around Wimbush. And
good. I'm glad.
That's what needs to happen. That's why I hate a quarterback competition, is because the entire team can be more confident and focused if they know who the quarterback is. That's why I always hate competitions.
No, I disagree with you. Because here, one of them can win it. And okay, it was a competition in quotes. It was set up for Brandon to win.
Well, yeah.
And I'm glad it was. It should be. He's been there longer, has more experience, and he's got the higher ceiling.
Yeah.
And so, good. And you know what, Randall? You talk about this maybe dividing the team, but winning the competition, even if it's a fake competition, might give him a sense of confidence and the team confidence in him.
Oh, you mean dividing the team as far as the quarterback?
Yeah, but having him come out as, hey, Brandon, we had an open competition, chuckle, chuckle, but Brandon won, and everyone can rally around him and...
Oh, I totally agree. That just needs to happen. We need the coaches to say that. We need Brian Kelly to say that.
I think
now
it's not going to be the last week of fall camp. It's going to be before that.
Yeah. Whether we find out the team will know.
I'll be shocked if And maybe the team already can sense it, maybe. Because I think we can sense it.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, but I kind
with
of
the spring game,
you.
I mean... Last couple of years, it's looked like Van Gorder, Gummy, would have been in competition. So, I mean, he always had good springs. So, who knows who will show up on Saturday? The offensive line, we got some answer on that. I mean, Chip Long basically said that Liam Eichenberg is going to be, he expects him to be the left tackle. And on Saturday's practice, they actually moved Alex Bars over to left guard just to help him. I mean, they said they did it Saturday, but I have a feeling they did it more than that, because Eichenberg did talk about it then later, and it said it's just helped him be more confident and be able to just do what he needs to do versus worrying about the play call, just different things. And Bars has been helping him with that, or letting him know before the play happens what's going on. And so he said Yeah, he can attack and do his thing. It helps a lot with having Bars there. And they did mention, I mean, it looks like there could be 8 guys that could be playing this, but it seems, after hearing what the coaches had to say, it seems like Hainsey,
Kramer,
Mustafer, Bars, and Eichenberg will probably be your starting line. Then you got a couple other guys, Lug, Rulin, you know, guys that can rotate in and help out. But, you know, Eichenberg was asked, you know, what's different? You know, you're trying to replace 2 first-round picks. You know, what's different? And he says instead of just, you know, 1 or 2 guys, it's about the whole group. There's 5 guys trying to make up for that. And so that's good to see. They're trying to work together as a unit. And that's another area that they need to get figured out, because the more the starting 5 can work together,
yeah,
the better they will be this upcoming year.
Yeah. And again, I know... it sounds like from media that have been able to watch the practices that, hey, the offensive line is coming along and looking pretty good, and I believe it. But there's still you don't replace Nelson and McGlinchey and not have growing pains. There's going to be mistakes and growing pains this season, and maybe they'll be better than I expect. There's still going to be. I mean, I know it. I know there's going to be growing pains.
Well. You have to remember, Eichenberg was kind of asked about it, but he's replacing McGlinchey, who replaced Zach Martin, who replaced Ronnie Stanley. I mean, those are some very successful left tackle. And they, I mean, so even when you think each transition period during that time, it seemed like there would be kind of a little bit of a letdown, which I'd say the biggest was McGlinchey's first year.
Mm-hmm.
But it... You know, it was just another great left tackle to take over. And so there will be a step back, but we also shouldn't be surprised if he's successful as well. I mean,
but McGlinchey did have an entire season over on the right side before he had to switch over.
That's true. So, but they like Eichenberg on the left. He's longer, a little bit bigger than what Hainsey is. And that just gives, it's just a little, you know, a split second advantage to the quarterback if you have a pass rusher there, where Eichenberg can use his size advantage to try to block just a little bit longer. So, anyways, that's kind of what you have on the offensive line.
All right, running backs. I don't think the running backs really came up in the interviews or the press conference.
Well, Chip Long mentioned that obviously Dexter and Tony Jones are the 2 guys there. He feels very confident in them. It's just a matter of getting the next group of guys ready to play and step in if they need to.
And then wide receiver, a little bit about Chase Claypool.
Which we've heard before, but it's clearly up to Chase Claypool, and the coaches think that as well. Chip Long said, and I believe some of the other coaches as well. I think Brian Kelly had mentioned it earlier, that it's up to Chase Claypool. He's got all the talent in the world. He can be a phenomenal player. Now it's up to Chase if he wants to take that step and be that guy. So they're trying to motivate him. They're saying this. It's very clear that they're trying to get him to step up, because they're saying this in the press conferences, and they've given smaller hints to players in press conferences than what this is, but it's very clear that they want Chase Claypool to step up to the plate, and if he does, he can be a phenomenal player. And I think we've kind of agreed with that. I mean,
I'm glad we're not hearing about any more excuses about coming from Canadian football and how the goalposts might be interfering.
That's all. See, they already mentioned it. They don't have to say it again.
Yeah.
But, yeah. They talked with Chris Fink. One thing Chris Fink mentioned is that Dell Alexander has a saying on the wall there in their receiver's room. It says, who's our best playmaker, who's our fastest player, and who loves football the most? And so that's up on the wall, and the players got to decide who that's going to be. They all have a chance to be that guy. And he's trying to motivate them. So.
All right. Tight ends. I mean, it sounds like more good things. I mean, there's more continued consistency with Alize Mack.
And that's
another one where I'll wait until, I mean, show me and then I'll believe you.
Yeah. Brock Wright was a guy that was interviewed as well. I thought it was interesting. I figured he was asked, would you rather make a pancake block that results in a touchdown, or would you want to make that touchdown catch? I thought basically all tight ends, everybody would make that touchdown. But he said he'd rather get the block. He said it's more satisfying.
And it was a pancake block.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I know, maybe I was trying to think. I mean, he's the blocking guy.
I was
so
glad to hear it. I mean, he knows,
totally.
He knows his specialty.
Totally. I was just trying to figure out if he was supposed to say that. But that's good to hear. I mean, that he knows that he needs to block, and it's what he's working on, wants to be good at. Cole Kmet seems to be, he's tiring a little bit from all his baseball and practice, and Brian Kelly mentioned a little bit, you know, he's pitching one day and then he has to come right back and practice, so it is showing a little bit as far as his stamina and where he's at, but he, so far, I don't think he's missed a football practice.
We always hear about how these guys' schedule are so busy.
Yeah.
Then how does someone end up doing school and two sports? And I know that they miss out on some of the sporting stuff. They don't do everything, but
yeah,
find it interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so we move over to defense.
Yeah.
Defensive line.
Tillery was interviewed, asked about his new position. He said he loves playing at the new position because he's facing more one-on-one battles and he can kind of showcase his skills and show what he can do. I mean, rushing the passer, basically what he did before was just try to take up space so that everybody else could do their thing. Well, now he can finally show what he can do, making plays on the defense side of the ball. And then Heinisch, also heard a little bit from him. You know, he did talk about how he's a little bit undersized, but he said he's got an edge to him and Nasbun. That's kind of what sets him apart. That's how he makes up for his lack in size, is his edge to him when he's playing. And each of the players was asked by Jack Nolan about the defensive players about the difference between Elko and Coach Lee, you know, and what's changed. Heinisch, he said at first, I thought he gave away more than what the other guys did, but he said that the coaching philosophy is a night and day difference.
But he kind of backtracked then.
Well,
too.
I wonder
because then he said, well, it's the same defense.
Yeah, but it's we've known it before. They have a different style of
communicating.
Yeah, communicating. That's basically what I think he was trying to say.
I think too. That's what he meant.
He also said Clark Lee isn't as on edge as what Elko was. So it almost seems like they're a little more comfortable with Lee's type of coaching. They're not worried about getting yelled at as much, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Well, I don't think we'll find a video floating around of Coach Lee at Miami where he's dropping the F-bomb and talking about getting that chain and I forget what all he said.
Yeah, yeah. But Tillery also talked about it, and he said Clark Lee and Mike Elston have put them in a better position, and they're like a more fluid defense this year than what they were last year. They're not learning new plays, new scheme, anything like that, so they can do that. So that, to me, isn't necessarily a difference between Lee and Elko. Yeah. That's just more, it's the second year of a system.
Yeah. Lee can be less of a coach than what Elko was, and this year's defense can be better than it was last year.
Yeah. So. But that's about all on the defensive line. About
linebackers, I don't think there was really anything with the linebackers, not that I had noted.
Jordan Genmark-Heath has been practicing at linebacker, so he kind of moved down, and Brian Kelly was asked about that, and he says he likes his size, strength, and physicality. And he said at the will position. And Asmir Bilal has actually been cross-training inside and outside. So it looks like they're bringing Genmark Heath to kind of take some pressure off of Bilal sometimes. And so he's a guy that's taking some reps at the rover position. So it would be kind of interesting to see how they rotate those guys, if they have to take out Coney or Tranquil. Genmark Heath is another guy that kind of fits into that.
And Brian Kelly, rotation. He did say that Genmark Heath, he will play this fall, right?
He said that about Houston Griffith.
Okay, that's right.
Genmark, he said, you know, this is just an experiment. They want to see what he can do at linebacker. Okay. It doesn't mean he's going to be playing linebacker this next year, but that's something they like what he can do. Like you mentioned, his size and his physicality. So they're seeing what he can do there. May take some pressure off of Bilal. But, yeah, as far as that's about it for the linebackers.
All right. Then cornerbacks.
Troy Pride has been... Brian Kelly talked about it, and everybody kind of talks how he's taking the next step forward. Brian Kelly has mentioned multiple times how it was kind of a mental thing for him last year. You know, he was so focused on one thing that he missed a read or just missed some things somewhere else in the field. But he has finally made that step, and there's a lot of competition at the cornerback. There's some good cornerbacks out there. And even at the point that Dante Vaughn is being talked about, as a cornerback that is looking good. You got a whole bunch of guys there, and Pride even talked about the competition they have out there. He knew the number of interceptions somebody else got, so they got their own kind of competition going on. And so they're all trying to be the top guy, and it's a very good situation.
So. And then we kind of touched on the safeties a little bit, but anything more from the safety position?
Well, like I said, Brian Kelly said that Griffith is going to play this next fall. So, I mean, he's going to be on the field somewhere. Not necessarily starting, but he'll get out in the field. And he just says he's a guy that knows what he's doing. He's got good instincts. He said it's hard to tell with guys coming in, freshmen coming in, how much they'll actually know when they get there. But he does have what it takes to get out on the field this fall. So... we'll see what happens. I mean, at this point, Elliott and Gilman are looks to be the number one safeties, but there's some guys behind them that are looking good as well. So.
All right.
And as far as Justin Yoon, he was back. Brian Kelly said he was hoping he'd come back and be able to kick a 65-yard field goal, and said something about some fairy dust or something, but he said it didn't happen. But basically, with this kicking camp, he kind of evaluated what he was doing as a kicker and worked on some things and just to become a better, more consistent kicker. So,
all right. I don't have anything more. Do you? Anything from the NFL?
I will say there. One thing that the coaches were asked about, Brian Kelly and Clark Lee, you know, how are they changing things up for the players, like surprising them, because the Miami game always comes up, and I also heard about the music, but they're throwing random things at them just to see how they handle the situation. And, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned throwing a soccer ball out there, which I'm not sure what all that entails, but... he also said they had they just had 10 guys on defense. He said they had a soccer ball out there and they had to score with a soccer ball.
I think they used a soccer ball instead of a football. So, I mean, you can't throw it, as well as a football can.
But he basically to see how the players would respond. Yeah. And then they also went with 10 guys on defense just to see how they respond.
So it sounds I think it's a lot of psychological.
Yeah, they're throwing toughness. Stuff at them to see how they handle it. Clark Lee was kind of asked about it as well, and he doesn't script plays like he used to. Last year, he would have scripted the plays, and the players would have been able to think about it and figure out how they're going to do it. Now they don't. They just go with it, and the players got to figure it out on the fly. Sorry, Chip Long, not Clark Lee. I've been talking about Clark Lee quite a bit, but Chip Long said that he hasn't been scripting the plays, And that way the players don't know what they're doing in practice. So that's good to see. And a lot of this is stuff they can do in the second year of mm-hmm. the system. So, yeah, I think that's about it. What are you going to be watching watching for in the Blue Gold game?
Well, I mean, of course, I'll be watching for Brandon Wimbush. Like, is he going to complete those easy passes? And really, even if he does, I won't really believe it.
Well,
I won't have confidence in it until probably two games in. But I'll still be watching for that. Another thing is Chase Claypool. Is he playing hard? Is he playing consistently hard every snap, or is he playing, you know, half-heartedly? Is he giving 100% every snap? Like, that's a big thing.
I want to see how they even warm up. We noticed that last year in the spring, and then in the new goal game in the fall, there were certain players that were just kind of lagging, which I almost think Chase Claypool was one of them.
Well, Stepherson was one of them.
Stepherson was, and you could tell. You can tell a lot.
The focus wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. So when you go, watch how they're warming up. See the guys that are putting in effort, because you're not going to see Chris Fink do any of that.
I mean,
a guy like him is all out all the time,
yes.
And in warm-ups, and you can kind of pick out the players like that.
Which I think is why he often shines in the spring or in practice and ends up not being a huge contributor.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, physically he's limited, but he does, he plays hard.
There was a picture of him and Miles Boykin. There's a video of them walking out for practice the other day. It is unreal.
I mean, the difference in size?
Yes. Miles Boykin is like twice his size, and you wonder how Chris Fink can ever get on the field. Which, Miles Boykin is a big receiver.
He is a big receiver.
But still, it was a pretty impressive difference. So, anyway, yeah, I just want to see.
Another thing, I want to watch Gilman.
Yeah.
I was probably the last one to think that he's going to come in and contribute as early as he is, but it definitely sounds like from the coaches and from practice reports that he's been impressive.
I want to see the safeties get an interception on Saturday, but yeah, should be a fun time. So make sure you're out there. And if you do go, tweet at us or let us know you're going to be there.
Yeah, last year we were in the premium seats, but I think I want to sit further, a little bit higher up.
To the field.
Yeah, I want to sit further up so I can get a better view of everything.
The seats are very comfortable.
Oh, they are. They are. There's a few other things I'll be watching, but those were some of the main things.
Yeah.
All right, I'm excited about the spring game coming up. And rain or shine, I will be there. I just won't be as happy if it's raining. Anyway.
It won't be as bad as the 2012 Stanford game, so we survived that.
Yeah, and that was definitely worth it. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.